man's or people's real problem? What is the bottom line to the world? Government? The whole situation? Everything? What's the bottom line? What is the real problem? John chapter 12, verse 44. There is a haven of rest available. It's just where you're going to birth your life. Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me seeth him that sent me." Verse 46. "I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." 49. "For I have not spoken of myself, but of the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Verse 46. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just ask that you'll help and guide and direct as you open up your Holy Scriptures, that you'll instruct, strengthen, encourage, challenge, and let us learn how to help and be helped. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we talk about the subject of the problem of mankind, there's been many studies, many discussions, many ideals, many philosophers, innumerable books written, how to fix everything. Some say it's the environment. How bad it is. Wasn't like that years ago. Some try and blame it on their heritage or their race. Some say, well, if I was a woman, it'd be better. Some say, if I was a man, it'd be better. Depends on who you're talking to. Some say, well, there's not enough money. Some say, well, there's too much money. Some say, it's my parents' fault. Then there's some, well, I don't have a father. I don't have a mother. Then somebody else says, well, I don't even have any parents. I don't have a good education. Or my education is too much and I can't find a job to match my skills. You know? I mean, it's just too many taxes. Well, the government needs to help more. No jobs, no employment. There's too much evil in the world. There are just all of these ideals that go out there and float around and say, well, this is what the problem is. This is why it's all come about. I've heard Christians say, if there was less evil in the world, it'd be easier to do what's right. Well, you look at Noah and his family. He was the only one in all of the world's population at that time that was righteous. And the world is not as bad as it was in the days of Noah, because God says when it is, he's coming back. Now, granted, it's bad, but it's not as bad as it was in the days of Noah. And Noah was righteous and stood up. Look at Job, all the things that happened to him. He never forsake God. He never sinned. These are just excuses people have. Well, there's too much evil. People don't want to come to church. They got other things they want to do. There's just so much temptation out there. I just can't handle it. These are things that some Christians say. Some say, well, I've got to survive. I've got to be mean and cruel and hateful like everybody else, or I'm not going to make it. You know, you got to get it while the getting's good, you know. Sell them what you can. Don't worry about it. None of these are really the problem. These are all symptoms of the problem. So many times, so many things today, so many programs, so many institutions, so many help things are working on the symptoms of the problem and not the real problem. You can fix symptoms all day long, but it's not going to last because the problem will come back because you didn't solve the problem. Think of weeds. You chop them off, what happens? They come back. The only way to completely get rid of it is to kill it with poison or get the root. And some of those, it's impossible to get the root. So all you're doing is fixing the symptom. You know, if you keep mowing off ragweeds and keep mowing off ragweeds, this trunk just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and sometimes you got to get a pick to get them out. Because they're only covering the symptom, you're not fixing the problem. When you get antibiotics, they tell you take all of them. Even if you start feeling better, take all of them. Because there's going to be a few germs that's going to survive. And those are the strong ones. And if you don't kill them all, they're going to come back and they're even going to be worse. Getting down to the root of the problem. It's the only way. Well, then everybody says, sin. Well, yes. Sin is a problem. Sin has been a problem since Adam and Eve. Sin is there. Yes. That is a problem. Okay. If breaking the law and sin and all that stuff is a problem, then what's the cure? Well, get rid of sin, they say. Okay, how are you going to do that? More police? Better judges? More laws? Bigger prisons? More rehabs? Hasn't worked yet, has it? In our verse 46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The very first thing, that God did after he made the earth was to make light. Now, if you remember back in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, this is still day one. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The face, the surface. Darkness was there. Creation started in darkness. But in the same verse, and the Spirit of God, capital S, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, he didn't make the sun and the moon and the stars till several days later. What does light do with darkness? Chases it away. Moves it away. Makes it disappear. With creation, without form and darkness. Upon the face of the deep. Down deep in all of creation. And then the Spirit of God moved. When the Spirit of God moves, when the Holy Spirit of God moves, He changes things. He moves across the face of your life, but He changes you all the way down into your soul. He makes an everlasting change. He makes a difference in your life, and He chases away the darkness. How do you get rid of darkness? With light. Security lights. Always put motion detectors and security lights. That's one of the number one deterrents to theft and all those things is light. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Men love darkness. Why? Because their deeds were evil. The problem is not the presence of darkness in this world. That's not the problem. The real problem is not enough light. That's the problem. The presence of darkness is only a symptom of the problem. If you go in, the other day, just last week, I think it was, got up in the middle of the night to get a jug of water out of the refrigerator and opened, plop, the light went out in the refrigerator. Well, the darkness was a symptom of no light. I can't fix the darkness. I can't make the darkness, I can't pull it out, get rid of the darkness. We put a new light bulb in there, and the darkness vanishes. It was the old story, the kid shut the door in the refrigerator, see if the light went out when he went in there. You see, no light, there will be darkness. Darkness is around everywhere. You just take the light away and the darkness appears. You don't have to make darkness, but you have to make the light. The problem is not the prisons or the jails or the lack of programs or it's the lack of light. It's the lack of light. Saw a sign on a sign one time, a saying. It says, if men were holy, there would be no question about what is right and wrong. Light and darkness are opposites. Just as good and evil are opposites. Just as heaven and hell are opposites. Just as Christ Jesus and the devil are opposites. Darkness only exists because of the absence of light. In our one we read in Genesis, when the Spirit moved, He brought forth light. He brought forth change. He brought forth order. He brought forth life. This creation could not exist without light. This creation was not designed to live in darkness. It was designed to have a light. Now, in Genesis it says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. In Psalms 119, 130, it says, the entrance of the words give light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of the words give
light.
In creation, the Spirit moved and brought order and calmness, and then He spoke and said, "Let there be light." In creation, you have the Trinity. You have God the Father. You have the Holy Spirit moving upon the waters, and then you have the spoken word of Jesus, because it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You have the whole Trinity in creation. When the light appears in a person's life, the whole Trinity is working in that person's life. Jesus says, "I'm just doing what God told me. I'm only proclaiming what God told me." And He says, "I'm not going to judge people. It's the words that are going to judge people. It's what the Scriptures is going to judge people." He says, "I came that they can have light." What? "So they will not walk in darkness." There is no reason for anyone to walk through this world in the darkness without God in their life. There's no reason. There's no point. There's no reason. He is there. He is available. The light is there. If I hadn't have turned the light on that night to see what I was getting out of the refrigerator to get a drink of, I could have got some bad surprises. Because there's some things in the refrigerator you just don't want to drink straight. Now, water's all right. So it would have been my fault if I grabbed the wrong thing out of the refrigerator. It wouldn't have been my wife's fault. It wouldn't have been the refrigerator's fault. It wouldn't have been the power company's fault. It's my fault. Because I chose to walk in darkness. When a person chooses to disobey God, it's only their fault. It's not nobody else's fault. God is there. God is wanting. God is helping. God has got His hands out. Come on. It's their choice. You cannot use the presence of darkness as an excuse. Because it's something that you chose to do. Light makes darkness disappear. So, you need to turn the light on in your life. If you're still in John, look at chapter 8. John chapter 1, John chapter 8. There's a lot in here about the light. But we're going to be in John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. Verse 12. John 8, 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty straightforward. I'm the light of the world. I'm it. I came to chase the darkness away. When I appear, darkness disappears. Follow me. Shall not walk in darkness. See, step one, the light of the world must dwell in your life. Step one. Step two, follow the light. Why do they put headlights on the front of the car and not the back of the car? Duh. Because you're following the light. You don't need to see where you've been. You need to see where you're going. You know, hey. Well, that's the same way with Jesus. You follow the light. You stay in the light. You stay in the path of the light. Have you ever had one of those cars that's kind of had a little body work done by a tree or something? And you got one headlight that's up like this, you know, lighting up all the birds and the trees as you go by. Doesn't do you any good, huh? Can't follow that light, can you? But Jesus is the light that you can follow. He's the path. So first, you got to have the light. Number two, you got to turn the light on, follow the light, and stay close to the light. And then you will walk. And third, but shall have the light of life. He promises. This is a promise, but shall have the light of life. Your life will be lighted up. This is a promise of God. You follow me, you let me be your light, and I promise you that there will not be any darkness in your life if you will follow me, if you will stay with me, if you will stay with the light. I promise you by the word of God that you will not have darkness in your life. When darkness comes in your life, it's because you stepped out of the light. I'm not talking about salvation. We stepped out of the way of God. You stepped away from the way of God. You stepped out from underneath the umbrella. What's the umbrella? To keep the rain off, keep the sun off. What happens when you get out from underneath it? You get wet or you get sunburned because you stepped out of God's protection. When you get off of the path, you're going to stumble your toes, you're going to have hurts, you're going to get hurt, you're going to be darkness in your life. And don't get mad at God because you're the one that left the path. You can have joy in your life. Look at Job, all the terrible... Nothing's happened to Job like happened to him. But he stayed in the light. He didn't get out of the light. Paul's job, he says in Acts 26:18 was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul said that was his job, to open their eyes. When you first come into that bright light, when you've been out in the darkness, it hurts your eyes. Your eyes have to adjust. The pupil has to adjust. When you first step out into the light, oh man, it hurts. But you have to open your eyes. Well, I don't want to open my eyes because it hurts, and you go around and you stumble into everything. Well, it's the same thing you're doing. Well, I don't want to open my eyes. It hurts, and I don't like what I see. So you stumble, and you fall, and you crash, and you burn, and you all this other stuff. Hey, open your eyes. When Jesus touches your life, when Jesus comes in your life, when Jesus enters your life, He opens your eyes. I don't know if it's true, but they used to do it in the old Western movies. The Indians would strap some guy down and cut his eyelids so he couldn't close his eyes and strap him out in the sun and his eyes would burn. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. That's just something they did in the movies. I don't know. But listen, you've got to open your eyes. And see Jesus, see the light. Yeah, it burns for a little bit when you first, in the morning, get up and the light's, But once you adjust to it. Your eyes were made to be in the light. Your life was made to be in the light of Jesus. You were not made to live in darkness. Your soul was not made to live in darkness. You're not made to live in darkness. You're made to live in the light, spiritually and physically. Let it open up your eyes and let Him come in. Okay, it's going to hurt, but let's get it out of there. Let's clean it out. Let's get going. Let's keep moving. It's going to be a little bit of pain. Open their eyes. To turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. It's an about face. To turn means to repent. Repent. I'm going this way. Oh, man, look at that light. Ah, okay, you keep going to the light. You turn your back on Satan. You turn your back on the darkness. I'm not going back there. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's the promise of God. Forgiveness of sins. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you up. He wants your light to shine. He wants to forgive you. But you've got to step into the light. And inheritance among which them are sanctified. Heavenly inheritance. A promise of God. And all of this is by faith. God has a plan. God has a perfect plan. And God has a perfect plan that will always work every time if you do it God's way. Well, it's not working. This is happening. That's happening. Won't you do it this? Well, no, I kind of thought I'd go this way. Well, you know, you're putting a recipe together and you says, well, I don't have baking soda, so I'll put baking powder in it. They're both white. Ain't going to work, is it? I tried that one time trying to make some peanut brittle. It didn't work. Don't work. All I got was a mess. The dog wouldn't even eat it. Mechanic and working on cars like I do. You know, hey. Well, I don't like the way that fits. I think it looks better this way. It ain't going to run. You got to follow God's plan. God says, stay on the path. Stay in the light. Stay out of the darkness. Follow me. I'll bless you. You'll have a greater hand. Come on. He'll help you. He'll take you by the hand. He'll guide you through it. Well, I think about this, or I thought about this, or so-and-so told me this, or mama used to do it this way, or whatever. Hey, I ask people, so how's it working so far for you? How's it working so far? How's it been turning out so far for you? How's it been going, huh? Well, maybe we ought to change something, huh? If it's not working that way, why is that? Well, I read this book, or whatever. Hey, why don't you read the Bible? See what it says. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to help you. Jesus has a great plan. Jesus has a proven, tested, tried, perfect plan. It'll work. If it doesn't, God's a liar. Two sides of the coin. Light and darkness. Light and darkness. Which way are you going to go? What are you going to have in your life? What's your call? It's your call. It's your choice. It's His way. The problem is the lack of light. That's the problem. Not enough light. Because light chases away darkness. If the light was bright and everybody was walking in the light, the prisons would be empty. The rehabs would be empty. But that's not the reality of it. Some people still choose darkness. I've told people before, don't worry about getting things out of your life. You just worry about getting close to Jesus. Because as long as you work at getting close to Jesus, the other things will fall out of your life. Well, I got these bad friends, and they're always wanting to do this or wanting to do that. Or it's bad stuff, you know. Well, invite them to church. Tell them about Jesus. Read them the Bible. See what kind of friends they really are. God's there. You just stay close to Jesus and it'll all work out.
But Satan knows how to pull you away. When the bright lights of the sin will pull you into darkness. What happens to the moth? It's a fake light. It's not the real light. Stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Let's stand at our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. See how God would work in your life. See what God wants to do in your life. Step out of the darkness and step into the light. Oh, how much Jesus loves you. Oh, how much He loves you. Dear Jesus, we just ask that You'll take this time, that You'll take these precious words, that You'll take the power of Your Spirit and touch hearts and change lives for the glory of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name.